Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Well, Chag Sameach LePesach.
We're entering into that time of year when we learn how to operate electronic gadgets that we've never had before. All right, let's try that. How's that? Stick that in there. All right, we have at this time of year the thing that people pray for in Israel, Harbe Geshem LePesach, a lot of rain. It's the time of the latter rain in Israel. You have the former rain and the latter rain. There are basically two rainy seasons, one going into the winter and the other coming out of the winter. And they need the rain over there in order to have food, or an old time when there was more of an agrarian economy and everything depended on agriculture. The rain meant life. It meant bread. Literally, the time of Passover marks the barley harvest. And this is the month of Nisan. It was the month of Aviv, as Greg was reading in the story of the Passover. We want to open up to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, if you would, which is where we came in, and it's where we came out of Egypt. So we were looking at the establishment when God told Moses that this month will be to you the beginning of the months, the Rosh Hashanah. That was the month of Aviv, which was the month of the ear of corn, which was how time was reckoned in Egypt. And later, during the time of the exile and the Galut, it became what we have today. It's the month of Nisan, which marks the barley harvest in Israel. Because later, the marking of the passage of time became geared to the crop cycles in Israel when people came into Israel. In the beginning, they were still geared to the crop cycles coming out of Egypt. And in our lives, when we become believers, we're geared to different cycles of our lives and different things that have importance to us. And as we become believers, we recognize the true importance of the things of God that take the place and are superimposed and then take the place of those things that were important, that were transitory and temporary, and we trade them for the things that are of eternal significance, that become the most important things in our lives. So there's a transition from Egypt to Israel, from sin to forgiveness, and from death to life. And it's that transition that we see as a pattern here in the Passover coming out of Egypt. So we read in the 12th chapter of Exodus, which is Shemot, the names, where God is telling Moses to speak. And he says, in the 10th day of this month, everyone will take a lamb according to how many people there are in the house. And this will be Lachurish Hazeh Vayichachu Lechem Ish Se Levet Avot Se Levait. Each person will take a lamb according to the number of people in your house on the 10th day of the month. This is the 10th day of the month of Nisan. Wednesday will be the day of the 14th, and then Chag HaMatzot, which is the first official day of Passover, which begins Thursday, which is the 15th, and Chag HaMatzot runs from the 15th to the 21st in Jewish time of reckoning, and that's how it is in Israel. So today is the 10th day. Today is the 10th day of the month of Nisan, and this would be the day, if we were in Egypt, or if we were in Israel, we would be taking, in ancient time, we'd be taking a lamb into our house at this point in time. And we would keep it, well, in our house or in a pen or nearby. We would have selected the lamb for our house. Or maybe we'd get together with our neighbors if our house is small. And then we would keep this lamb from the 10th until the 14th. So we're looking at a little period of time here where we're going to identify with our sacrifice. This is the day on which Yeshua rode into Jerusalem. We read in the book of John that 6 days before Pesach, he was in the house of Martha and Mary in Bethany. Bethany is the house of affliction. And he was getting ready for the affliction. He was visiting them. 6 days before Pesach is the 10th of, is the 9th of the month. And we read in the book of John where he is there with them and with Eleazar, with Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And we can only imagine what's going through the mind of Eleazar, who has already been raised from the dead. So imagine, he has a front row seat for this. And then it tells us in the book of John that the next day, 5 days before Passover, Yeshua then comes into Jerusalem. So we're looking at 5 days before the 15th, which is the start of HaKamatzot. So the 10th day of the month, Yeshua is the sacrifice who becomes taken into the house of Israel. He comes in, and the people along the way are Baruch Abba, B'Shem Adonai, Haslika, Haslika, Hoshiana, Hoshiana, Haslikana, blessing, praise to the Lord, bring us prosperity along the way, and he comes in. And so Yeshua himself acts out the saga of the story of Pesach for us, of Passover. So on the 10th, you take in your sacrifice and you become acquainted with the substitutionary sacrifice that you were then going to offer on the 14th day of the month. In the 6th verse of the 12th chapter, it tells us that you will keep it up to the 14th day. And on the 14th day, the shachtu oto, you will slaughter it. Kol kahal adat Israel bein ha'arba'im. Everyone will kill the sacrifice at the same time, bein ha'arba'im, between the evenings, literally. Because in the reckoning of Jewish time, there was a time when the day waned into the afternoon, which was the first evening, and then the time when it actually became dark, which is the second evening. So between the evenings, Bein Arba'im, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is how we would reckon this time, which is the time of Yeshua when he was executed. If we look into the account in the New Testament, and we read by the account of the Roman time, the 6th hour and the 9th hour, and that time period corresponds exactly to 3 o'clock in the afternoon when Yeshua gave up his spirit and he was sacrificed as the Passover. Bein Arba'im. So he was the Passover and he died Bein Arba'im at the time of Pesach, which has come down to us in modern times as the time of the Mincha, the time of the afternoon prayer, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, traditionally. And this is a very interesting thing. So it says that you will take the blood in verse 7. You'll take this blood, v'lechak min hadam benatanu al stecha mezuzot. You will take the blood of the sacrifice and put it on the mezuzot, the mezuzah, the side post of your house, v'al hamashkof, and on the lintel overhead of the house in which you will eat the Passover. And the reason for this is found down in verse 12. For I, speaking of God himself, the Lord is speaking here, because I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. On this night, how is this night different from all other nights? Because the Lord will pass through the land of Egypt, and the Lord himself will bring freedom. He says he will smite. V'hikiti kol bekor, all the firstborn be'eretz Mitzrayim of Egypt, me'adam ve'abahema, all the men, all the humans, all the animals, everyone, and against all the false gods of Egypt, v'kol elohei Mitzrayim, ve'eseh shvatim ani Adonai, I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, the false gods of Egypt, and all of the false gods of Egypt were all of these animal gods and people who worship the sun. And so God demonstrated control over all of these things by having brought all of these plagues. And God controlled all of these various objects that symbolize the false gods of Egypt. They worshipped the sun. The Lord took away the sun. They worshipped the Nile River, God made it an abomination. God controlled all creation to show that he is the God of creation and that the things of creation are not the gods like the Egyptians thought they were, but that there is a real God who is greater than all the false gods. So it says, I will execute judgment against all the false gods of Egypt. And the blood will be to you, it says, for a sign. V'hayah adam lakim le'ot. An ot is a sign. Ot is a sign, and when I see the blood on the house, it will be a sign, asher atem sham uraiti, when I see et hadam, the blood, uraiti et hadam, ufasakti alechem, I will pass over you, and I will not allow the destroyer to come in and smite, negef emashchit, when I pass through and smite the land of Egypt. Uraiti et hadam, ufasakti, fasaks, to pass over, and I will pass over when I see the blood, ra'iti et hadam. So this is a covenant that God makes, and the blood is the sign of the covenant. And the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over those houses on which I see the blood, which is the sign of obedience to the covenant that God has made. Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem is the question that we ask at Passover. Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem. What does this service mean to you? This is the central question of Passover. If you go on down to verse 26, it will come about that when your children ask you, in verse 26, your children will ask you, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem? What is this service to you? What does it mean to you? And then you will say, this is the sacrifice, the Zevach Pesach, the sacrifice of Passover, and it is the Lord's Passover. Whose Passover is it? It's the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of Israel in Egypt, struck the Egyptians, delivered our houses. Ma avodah hazot lachem. What is this service to you? And then up in verse 23, we look at a repetition of this. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. Ve'avar Adonai l'nagofet Mitzrayim. V'ra'a et hadam, when God sees the blood, al mashkof ve'al shtei hamezuzot, over the lintel and on the two side posts, ufasak Adonai, God will pass over, al petach, the door, ve'lo yitein amashchit levo al betechem nagov. God will pass over when he sees the blood. Ma avodah hazot lachem. Go to the prophet Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, in the prophet of Jeremiah, there's a prophecy here in chapter 31. We keep this question that presupposes a couple of things. One, that Israel is going to do this Passover the way that God commands it. And it says that you will keep this forever, for an ordinance for all time in every generation. This day, in verse 14, back in the book of Exodus, this day will be a zikaron, a memorial, and you will keep it as a chag, a festival, a feast, throughout door to door, generation to generation, forever, le'olam. So there's a supposition that A, we're going to keep the Passover, B, our children are going to ask us about it and we're going to teach them about it. And the central question is, minus tanah halayla hazeh, how's this night different from all other nights? Is ma ha'avodah lazot lachem? What does this service mean? This is the thing that we're supposed to answer. Behold, says the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 of chapter 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord. God is speaking again. Na'um Adonai, God speaks, I will make a new covenant, says the Lord. Karati, I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel. Karati et Beit Israel et Beit Huda and the house of Judah, Brit Hadashah, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of Egypt, which covenant they broke, but this will be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my teaching in the midst of their innermost parts, and I will write upon their hearts. And they will not need to teach every man his neighbor, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The Lord says, no one will need to teach because I will forgive the Adonai Esalak. I will forgive Le Abunam Vechataam. Chet is sin, as Greg pointed out. There are two words here, the iniquity and sin. And God says that I will forgive their iniquity. That's the Omiyah, iniquity. It's also the word for affliction, interestingly enough, because we are afflicted by our own iniquity. When we have iniquity, is the nature to do the wrong thing, and this is what afflicts us all the days of our lives. God says, I will forgive their iniquity, the tendency to sin, the nature that is predisposed to sin, and I will remember their sin no more. The chet is a sin. It's the act of sin that comes out of the huniyah, the iniquity. First, there is a predisposition to do the wrong thing. If we choose that and then actually do the wrong thing, that becomes the actual act of sin. Now, God makes this distinction because even when He forgives the sin, we're still afflicted by the remembrance of sin. The remembrance of sin becomes a zikaron, and what he is saying is that the forgiveness of sin is supposed to be the zikaron, the remembrance, the memorial, to remember that God took away your sin, and because now he is putting his law in your heart, he is going to give you a new spirit. A new spirit. In the prophet of Ezekiel, God says, I will give you a new spirit, and they will live. God changes the nature of us through the Messiah, through Yeshua, through a new covenant that not only forgives sin through the blood of bulls and goats and calves and red heifers, but also takes away sin. It changes our nature. If you go into the new covenant and look into the book of Hebrews, how does this new covenant change anything? Look in Hebrews chapter 9. Why does there have to be a new covenant? There has to be a new one, not like the covenant that was made in Egypt. There has to be a new covenant because in order for God to forgive our iniquity as well as the act of sin, there has to be a covenant whereby our nature can be changed. Our consciousness can be changed. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, we're told that when the Messiah appears as a high priest of the good things that have come and enters a greater and more perfect Ohel Ma'od tent, a holy place, not made with hands, he enters once for all into the Mishkan HaKadosh, the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, securing eternal redemption. Because the sprinkling with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a red heifer is for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of the Messiah through the eternal Spirit purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So now we have a sacrifice that causes us to be changed in our spirit. you dream. And this is pretty good. It's 9:14. For we're going from Tameh, which is impure, to Tahor, which is pure. And we have the ritual laws of purity. And now we have a way of coming from Ma'aseh Mavet, from working the works of death, to Shana'avod Et Elohim Chaim, to do a service to the living God. So we're crossing over from doing things out of a conscience that is not pure, that is tameh, into having a conscience that is purified by God putting a new spirit into us, giving us a new life, so that we will serve the living God, and we will do things because we want to please God. And now we're crossing over from death to life. So now God is purifying our remembrance. When we're forgiven of the things that we did for sin, we also are forgiven of the remembrance of them, so we don't have to go around feeling bad all the time because of the bad thing we did, even after we are forgiven. A lot of times we punish ourselves that way. Our own conscience afflicts us because, well, we did a bad thing. Well, God forgives you of it. Well, yes, I know, but I still feel so bad because I did the bad thing. Well, that's all true. But when God forgives us, and it means that we stop doing those things, we also don't have to continue underneath this anvil of self-condemnation anymore. We are forgiven, and God forgives the iniquity, and the spirit that made us do it, and even the remembrance of it, is supposed to be supplanted with the remembrance of the forgiveness. Now, that's what we're supposed to remember. The sin itself and the nature that made us do it. We're not that person anymore. We are a new creation in the blood of the Messiah, who gives us a new spirit. And this is why a new covenant was needed. An eternal covenant with an eternal sacrifice, with eternal blood. Not just to come out of Egypt and be forgiven of acts of sin, but to have a changed nature. Therefore, in verse 15 in Hebrews 9, Yeshua, the Mashiach, is the mediator of a new covenant, a Brit Chadashah, so that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal life, eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred which redeems us from the sins, the transgressions, the laws that we broke. Remember, God said, a new covenant, not like the covenant that I gave your fathers when I brought you out of Egypt, which you broke. The sins that were broken, that broke the first covenant. Now we're going to have a death that establishes an inheritance that redeems us from those sins and from the consciousness wherewith we're driven to do continually sinful things. For where there's a will, a testament, a brit involved, the death of the one who makes it establishes that covenant. It's established. Nachon is the tikkun. We say tikkun olam, repairing the world. Well, the tikkun, the establishment of this covenant, the tikkun of the brit chadashah, is established by the death of the one who brings us the covenant. Just as even the first covenant, in verse 18, the covenant that was made in Egypt was made with blood. Every command of the law declared by Moses to the people who spoke by the mouth of God took the blood of animals, sprinkled the doorpost, sprinkled the lintel. When I see the blood, Raiti et hadam fasakti, I will pass over when I see the blood. There has to be a death and there has to be blood for there to be a covenant. That's what we're being taught. The blood of the covenant which God commanded you is what Moses told the people. This is actually a quote from Moses. Hine dam habrit asher tzabah etkim Elohim. God commanded us to keep the Passover, right, for every generation, door to door, the olam. There has to be blood to establish that covenant, and there has to be death to produce the blood. Verse 22, under the Torah, everything is purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now there's a new covenant. to cleanse us from evil nature, to change our nature. There must be a death and there must be blood in order for the covenant that is new to become effective. And the one who brings us this covenant is the Messiah. So he must die in order to establish the covenant, because that's the law. He must do it. And the blood has to be shed so that we can be forgiven of our sins. It is our eternal inheritance and the forgiveness of sin. What did Jeremiah the prophet say about the new covenant? So I will forgive their sins. I will forgive their iniquity. I will forgive their sins under the new covenant, which is established by the death of the one who brings it and the shedding of the blood of eternal redemption. And this is the covenant of Pesach. It's a covenant established by a death sealed with blood. On that doorway, there's blood. When Yeshua is executed, there's blood on the mezuzot of the execution stake and on the machof overhead. Ze HaMelech Yehudim, this is the King of the Jews, Minatzeret, Yeshua Minatzeret. Well, they were right. They got that part right. This is the King of the Jews, and he's the King of everybody. And there was blood, just like there was in the time of Egypt. If you jumped in a time machine in Egypt and exited on the Jerusalem in the first century, you would see the doorway framed by the execution. There is blood, and there's a sacrifice. There's a different sacrifice. It's a better sacrifice than the blood of bulls and goats and calves and things like that. It's an eternal sacrifice, and a priest that enters the Holy of Holies in heaven never needs to be renewed, and a sacrifice that never needs to be repeated, and an eternal sacrifice that is our inheritance, because it's been established by a will. We were written into this will. Our names were cut into the will, right? It was willed to us, and then the person who wrote the will died, and now that will becomes in effect. And so it is our inheritance to have eternal life and a changed nature, because we embrace the life that God has given us through Yeshua, who is our Mashiach. And we want to look one more passage in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 26. What did Yeshua say about all of this? In Matthew 26:26, and they're having the Passover for the last time when Yeshua is still on the earth with his Talmudim, and he's describing the bread, and he says, take this bread and eat, this is my body. And he takes the cup and he blesses it in verse 27, and he says, drink from this, all of you drink from this cup, this is my blood, Dam HaBrit, the blood of the covenant, the Brit HaDashah, the new covenant, HaNishpat, that is poured out, Be'ad Rabim, Leslichat Hata'im, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Ve'ani Amar Akim, Be'ata Lo Eshteh, I will not drink again Mipri HaGafein of the fruit of the vine, Hazeh Ad Oto Hayom Asher, until I drink it hadash, new, with you, imachim, b'malchut avi, in the kingdom of my Father. So there is a promise that we will have another Passover. This is not the last Passover. It's not the Last Supper. That's bull. The last Passover is when we drink in the house of my Father. It's a promise. That's the Last Supper. That's an eternal supper. It's the Passover that will never end, because the covenant will never end, and the blood will never fade from that mezuzah of the execution of the Mashiach. We look forward to yet another Passover in the house of my Father, the kingdom of my Father, the Malchut Avi. This is one of my favorite Passover stories, and you'll have to indulge me. Not too many people do this, but in the Sephardic households, you get this a lot. You get this little thing that they sing at the end. They get into all these children's stories and a lot of songs and things. And one of the things that they sing is Chag Gadya. one goat. And I dug that. I found this. And I got another book because my old one was torn up. And it's kind of a little children's refrain. It's one goat that my father bought for me. And it's kind of describing one of these things that just kind of grows and grows and grows. One goat, Achad Gadya, my father bought this goat for 2 zuzim. One goat, and along came a cat and ate the goat. And then it repeats the, you know, my father bought for me for 2 zuzim. And then along came a dog and bit the cat, that ate the goat that my father bought for me for 2 zuzim. And then along came a stick and beat the dog that bit the cat that ate the goat. And then my father bought for me for 2 zuzim, whatever 2 zuzim was in those days. And this goes one refrain, it's kind of like Dainu in a manner of speaking. And then the water puts out the fire, which burns the stick that beat the dog, that bit the cat, that ate the goat that my father bought for me for 2 zuzim. Okay, it rocks on like this for a while. Finally an ox comes and he drinks the water and all. And then a butcher comes and kills the ox that drank the water, that put out the fire, that burnt the stick, that beat the dog, that bit the cat, that ate the goat. Okay, you get the... And along comes the angel of death and kills the butcher. In the end, the shohet, the one, the slaughterer. The shohet, that's what we do with the Passover line. Shohet, shachtu, bein abayim, kill the Passover between the evenings. And then the last line is, along came the Holy One, blessed be He, Baruch Hashem, and kills the angel of death that killed the butcher, that killed the ox, and all back down through. Now, this is a children's rhyme, but I submit that as the Lord passed through Egypt and executed judgment against all the false gods of Egypt, Yeshua passed through our world and executed judgment on the angel of death, killed the angel of death on the execution. What was the blood? The blood is the execution of the angel of death, so that we can have a new covenant, which to us is life. Because that blood established the establishment of a new covenant by the death of the one who made it, who did not stay dead. Because if the death of Yeshua is the death of death, then the resurrection of Yeshua is the establishment of a life-giving covenant written in blood, a new covenant written for us to change our nature so that we serve the living God and so that we inherit what was given to us by the promise of God, eternal life. You do want to remember the question that we asked. Maha avodah hazot lechem. What does this mean to you? Then came the Holy One, blessed be He. Maha avodah hazot lechem. Then came the Holy One, blessed be He, and killed the angel of death. So we do not have to live under the shadow of death anymore, because we have a new covenant. And we have the blood that forgives sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. There's the death of the one who made the new covenant and the shedding of the blood that brings us forgiveness, and the life of the one who brought that covenant, who is our high priest and establishes the Zavak Pesach for us that brings us into life, substitutes serving the living God instead of living under continually death after death after death after death. At the end of it, Most Holy, Blessed Be He, comes and kills the angel of death with His sacrifice and establishes life for us. Zavak Pesach L'chaim. Ma avodah hazot lechem. What does this mean to us? The Pesach means life. It means life with the new covenant that God gave us in Mashiach. That's it. That's all I got to say.